Greetings and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale, and I am privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation in living the Catholic life. Well, we're gathered this morning in the studio on this blustery winter day, and we're really going to be looking at an understanding of men and the understanding of men in this world today, of a kind of a gender-neutral world that we're becoming. And we need to somehow draw men back into their faith, back into an understanding of who the church is, and particularly their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Today in the studio, I have three men who are engaged in that battle, and I want to welcome a Mormon to this day. These men are part of our KFRA conference that's coming up on March 8th, and these men have been working tirelessly to make this conference a success and to draw men into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to welcome Tony Buchek. Tony, welcome.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Mike Ingram, thank you for being here.
Good morning, Deacon.
And Dr. David Dunbraber. Thanks for being here, brother.
Deacon Jim, it's a privilege.
Yes, we're glad to have you all here. You know, I think, first of all, what we need to do, this is our ninth year going to the conference, correct?
Correct, correct. Yeah.
We are all members of this KFRA group, and we've been faithfully putting this on for now, going to start our ninth year. I do want to talk just briefly about the other gentlemen that aren't here, and that would be, we have, and help me if I miss anybody, we have David Flickinger, we have John Olick, we have Jim Dirks, we have Todd Oatley, we have, help me out, guys.
Kurt Street.
Mm-hmm. Did we miss anybody?
If we did, I'm sure we'll hear of it.
Well, first of all, they're all integral to this program, yep, too, and it's in this KFRA conference, and we have to acknowledge them because they do a lot of the work, and we do the work behind the scenes. So thank you all for being here this morning.
Hey, our pleasure.
You know what? This in and of itself is a sacrifice because we're starting out early this morning because we have to get to our jobs and to
that's
work.
Right, yeah. That's right.
You know, and I think that's important for men to hear that we are not just men who just work in the church tirelessly. We are ordinary men doing ordinary jobs. And what I would like to do is just kind of introduce our audience to who you are and what you do. Tony, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm an automotive engineer by trade, design automotive parts and work out of automation assembly for automotive. Been a cradle Catholic, but for a long time was just taking up pew space for years and years and years until, to be honest with you, until this conference came around. And hearing some of the first speakers, actually you, Deacon Jim, was one of the big ones that said, hey, there's something else other than just sitting in this pew doing nothing.
Yeah, praise be to God. Mike, how about you? How about your journey?
Well, I work at a local television station as a photographer, editor, that kind of stuff. I'm not a cradle Catholic, and actually for probably the first 20-some-odd years of my life, I was a nothing. We moved when I was in second grade to the house we were in.
Let me ask you, were your parents practicing any faith?
I was baptized in a Presbyterian church, but I have just vague memories of that because, like I said, second grade we moved into the house my parents lived in for 40 years, and never went to a church after that.
Okay.
And, you know, there were times in my life where I was like, I'm not sure if there is a God, you know, blah, blah, you know, just like everybody else does back and forth. But there was always something there. And my mom, I talked about this a while back, that sometimes I would sleep one of those little New Testaments, you know, you get for free someplace.
Yes.
I'd sleep with that under my pillow. I kind of remember that, not more or less, but always something there.
You were thinking of osmosis.
There you go, something like that. But looking back on it now, I think, like, you know, that honestly, you know, he was always there.
Yeah.
Always there for me. But anyways, I met my wife when I was in college. She was Catholic. And her mom, her parents, her family, but her mom especially just, I mean, like, kind of like your mom, Dave, you know, just oh my gosh, so devout and just such a wonderful person.
Yeah.
So, but I still didn't become Catholic. You know, I'd go with her sometimes to church. And then when my son was born 24 years ago, I came into the church. But I just came into the church. I didn't really become Catholic.
Yeah.
So I'd go to church on Sundays with the family and stuff like that, get my community to go, okay, come on, let's go. We can go home now. It's time to go home now.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember how long ago it was, but it was at a weekend retreat that you were at, Dave, you and your brother, Mike, and something happened. The Holy Spirit just boom. And from that after we got back from that weekend, I started going to daily mass. And that was, like I said, I don't know, 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago. And if anybody who knows me, daily mass from then, that is a miracle.
That is wonderful.
That is a miracle.
What was your first CAFER conference?
You know, I was thinking about that. I think it was, I'm not sure how many years ago, but I believe it was when Bill Cubitt was the speaker. My son and I came.
Okay.
And just that, and that whole idea of gathering together with that kind of support.
Yeah.
Men, like-minded, and not like-minded, like, you know, I'm with you guys, and it's like, I feel intimidated sometimes, you guys, with your faith and the way you live out your faith, and I think, oh, man, I really want to be more like that. I want to do more. So that kind of encouragement, that kind of being that close to the flame, kind of, you know, getting a little warm from that.
Great word.
So that in this conference, and just being with men, like-minded men who are on that same track.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a track, man. Sometimes it's tough going sometimes.
You know, and honestly, we do sacrifice to put this conference on because it is a time where we meet together. But Dr. David Denbraber, tell us about yourself a little bit. And
yeah, you're saying, hey, we're just normal guys, and that is the absolute truth with me. Day in and day out, my profession is an optometrist, and I work with a big eye care provider here in the Grand Rapids area and surrounding area, and love my work. It's a huge part of my life. But then, you know, with work, we are called, though, not to only bring the Lord into our work, but to do other things outside of the workplace.
You know, David, I want to interject something. I've seen you work because you are my doctor also.
Yeah.
And I see how you see God in your job, mm-hmm. how you see the Lord Jesus in your patients and everything else. So, you know, that's a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I try, you know, and like Michael said, it's bringing the Lord into your workplace. It takes an inspiration not only from just that relationship that I have with the Lord, but with other men. I mean, I have key friendships in my life with other guys, and this CAFA group that I'm involved in and trying to build and have a conference that men, you know, would want to come to and be inspired by. Being around guys like you helps so much. So when I am doing the kind of the normal stuff that men do, I am motivated to bring the Lord into that work. And so, not always easy, but I appreciate you saying that. So I, day in and day out, I'm married, I have five daughters, so I've got, Mike says stay close to the fire.
That's right.
I've got to, because in today's culture,
yeah.
It's just really important to be a godly man.
Yes.
So,
you know, David, when we first started this conference 9 years ago, I believe you and I were one of the first speakers. You were there with me there.
Right, yeah.
At that first conference. And we had that at St. Joe's Seminary.
That's right.
Maybe gathered, what, 70 or 80 men?
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Fonseca was us.
That's right.
And we never envisioned that it would be in our ninth year.
Yeah.
But this has been a powerful movement.
Praise God. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's in a certain movement. You know, when I first talked about this, I said we have a culture problem today. And maybe we can talk about this a little. Many of our men are becoming demasculated. They're having a problem with their identity, of their masculinity. But a lot of it comes to the understanding of not seeing themselves in the Lord Jesus Christ and what it means to be a man of the Lord. And they don't understand the distinct roles that they have as a father, as a husband, as an employer, an employee. And when you don't have that deep and profound sense of Christ in your life, sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Well, how is it? Let me ask you this, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but how has the conference personally changed your life? Anybody?
Well, again, I think it comes back to that whole support system, that whole, you know, you talked about the understanding of what your relationship is and what it is supposed to be. Because I think, you know, the world has pretty much watered down God a lot as far as, like, well, God is just this guy that's just kind of like, hey, you know, I love everybody, and, you know, everybody can do, hey, whatever is good,
right.
If it's good with you, you know, and we're convincing men of that, convincing people, everyone of that, that, nah, you know, whatever goes, goes, as long as you're not, quote, hurting anyone.
Right.
You know? And to
a little bit of that moral relativism that's really becoming so prevalent in our society today.
But just to be involved with men like you and at this conference, like-minded, and, you know, I'm sure there's men coming to this conference that aren't like that. Like, oh, I wonder what this is all about, you know? You know, I wonder what, you know, my relationship is. Because, I mean, I'm still figuring it out. Mm-hmm. I'm still working on that. I'm still, you know, dealing with all that. But just, again, this conference just reinforces and just, I mean, lights that fire in you.
Yeah.
That just like, oh, all right, yes, you know.
Mike, you've been with us how long now with the Kafer Group?
I'm bad with years. Like 4 years, five years.
And you've obviously seen the growth in yourself during this time.
Oh, sure.
Being with us and being at the conferences.
Yep. And I love, oh my gosh, I just love these, the conferences. Just the folks that we get to come in to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, just awesome. So inspiring. It really is. And it just drives you so much closer to the Lord, yeah. I think, you know, just because it just makes so much sense.
That's right.
And, you know, and I guess that's
exactly
a grace,
right.
too. You know, that's a grace, too, that, yeah. that where you begin to understand that, too.
Yes.
But the world just bombards you with so much yep. stuff that you have to run to him.
How about you, Tony?
Well, I think on Mike's point there, too, it's all continual learning. I mean, the more we dig into Christ, the more we dig into the Word, the more we dig into everything, the farther we come along our journey. And this conference helps us so much in that. If we don't do something, you're going to become stagnant, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's helped me so much because catching the fire from the conference, it's really helped my family life, at work life, more calm at work, more calm at home.
Yep.
It just really helps the fact to be able to get speakers that you hear that have different ideas that you may have never heard before for some men, some stuff that really help you out.
Yep.
And it's the continual...
Yes,
getting that in the back of your mind.
Before I ask Dr. David Dunbury about his view on this, I want to encourage men to have this understanding. We have three men in the studio here who are cradle Catholics. We have one who is a convert, and yet none of us at this point can ever say that we were absolutely faithful from the beginning of our faith life, myself included. It took a powerful conversion in my life and a time in my life that brought me really faithfully to the Lord. And I'm encouraging men to understand that this conference is not about just coming to one day. This conference is about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and understand that there's men out there who are living strong Catholic lives who love the Lord, and they're just guys just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. David.
Yeah, I was thinking about, is having your wife kind of kick you out the door to say you are going to this conference, does that count as, you know,
hey, whatever works.
Man. That's right. So, though, that didn't necessarily happen with me, but I know Amy loves, my wife Amy, loves the fact that I'm around guys who are striving for excellence
yes.
as father, as husband, as friend, as brother, as worker. I mean, it inspires her in new ways. So my story really in coming to this conference was through a really simple prayer. It was, I asked the Lord basically many, many, many years ago, are you real? Because I hear men and women talking about you, how much they love you, and that your life won't be fulfilled until you know Jesus and all those things. So I was on a retreat and really, someone pushed me really hard in a good way, in a loving way, to excellence in all facets of my life. And I went on this retreat, and there was a time I just basically said, God, if you're real, please show me.
I want to interject a little something here mm-hmm. again, David, because I think it's important for your background. You also part of the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. I was in training camp with them.
As a quarterback. And you probably lived in a world that was totally different than what you're living in now.
Right.
And, I mean, that's important for people to know because we look at the football players and how we think they're godly men, but there's still this understanding we have to have that conversion.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for a lot of men and women, we are chasing the American dream. That if we do the right things in the world's eyes, we work hard, we go to school, you know, we get a decent job, we start making some money, we retire. I mean, that's the American dream, you know, to travel right. a little bit and do different things and to produce and to get wealth. That's what we call successful,
right.
a successful life. So I bought into that. And then going back to this retreat and then coming to the men's conference, I said, Lord, if you're real, show me. I would love to be known as your son.
Mm-hmm.
And so lo and behold, he meets you. He's there, but you actually then turn to him and say, and fall into his arms, like the prodigal son,
right.
really.
Right.
And so fall into his arms. And then this is the and I don't know if you guys know this, because I've been around these guys a long time, these guys sitting in this room who I really, really care for, that I just said, please don't leave me alone. So here is a guy who played football. I was around some just raucous, tough guys along the way.
Absolutely.
And in the simplicity and like childlike way, I said, Lord, please don't leave me alone. Like, what am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? I was afraid of being a guy alone if I followed Christ.
Yep.
And I didn't even know what that would look like. So lo and behold, he says, it's the Great Commission in Matthew. He says, remember this. I want you to go and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But remember this. I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I will never leave you alone.
That's right.
And so lo and behold, what happens? He brings amazing men like you into my life, hundreds of men at these conferences. And he said, time and time again, he reveals to me, he says, David, remember, I am faithful. I love you more than you know. And here is an army of men and great speakers to build you up and support you to be the man I've called you to be.
Yeah.
And so that's what this conference, how could I not be involved in something like this? If I truly love, how could I not?
You can't, so, because we're called and commissioned to bring other men to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but here's the really where the rubber meets the road. Men don't understand conversion. And we probably had a hard time in the beginning of our lives really having this understanding of conversion. And so men are listening to us, and what we're trying to convey to them right now is that we really have to do the work, too. I mean, we have to want to accept the Lord into our life. And it's only through that beginning of saying, you know what, Lord, are you real? Lord, are you there for me? Can I trust you? And if you are trustworthy, what do you want me to do? And these are the things that we try and bring out at the conference, is that there may be some men there who have never really had an experience of Christ. And our understanding and helping them is to maybe hear just one particular word in that entire conference that can change their lives. And I think that's important for us to understand that they're all different walks of life, all different places in their faith journey, and we really facilitate in that conference. Not that we can change their faith, but God can, but we facilitate. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Cool. I think that's a great position. What are some obstacles that you guys would see as men? Why wouldn't you come? Yeah. Or what holds you back?
I don't have time.
There's games. I got to watch a game.
I'll tell you what, though, because it makes me think of, you know, I talked about how I went to that weekend retreat and whatever like that, and you talk about, you know, you wanting to, and I'll tell you what, when I went to that weekend retreat, I did not want to go. My son had a baseball game that Saturday. I'm not going to this thing. It's taking me away from my son's game. I don't have time for this. I'm going to have to get off work on Friday early to make it there. I don't need this. I don't want to go. But your brother had asked me, and I said, okay. You know, I said yes. And so, gosh, now I got to go. Now I got to go to this thing. Gosh, darn it, I'm going to miss my son's game.
Then you felt obligated.
Yeah, and I felt obligated.
Okay.
And I went, and gee, guess what happened? You know, the Holy Spirit said, got you here now. Wham! You know, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So, no, I didn't want to go. Did I have an inclination towards to God and His church? Yeah, I did. You know, I did. But the key was for me to say, you know, and I wanted to go. I did want to go, but I didn't want to go. One of those things. The key is to say yes.
Yeah.
You have to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say yes, then that opens a whole lot of stuff.
Right.
You know, it's that resistance, you know, and I had that resistance. But, you know, I just felt like, you know, my whole life the Lord has always been there and finally had the opportunity to overwhelm me, if you will, you know, despite my objections. But, it's just saying yes. In a conference like this, oh my gosh, there's so many other things you could be doing. Sure, there certainly is. There's a lot of other things you could be doing.
You know, I think one of the reasons men don't come, we're encouraging men, is there's this peer pressure they often face, too, that they don't want to look like they're this Jesus freak, or that they're going to spend their Saturday talking about God, because in the reality of it is many of them never done that.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that is going to take some effort and to have an understanding that this is what men do. But how do we get them there? We draw them in. We entice them because we want to be the image of Christ for them.
Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, if you attend one of these conferences, you will not walk out the same person.
That's right.
Unless you just sit there and go, well, this is, you know, unless you're totally resistant. Because, you know, again, you think about it and you go, oh boy, it's going to be speakers and I'm going to be. But I tell you what, man, it is just so dynamic. These speakers are just fantastic. And I'm not necessarily trying to sell a product other than Christ. You know, and it will change you, period.
Yeah.
It will change you. I guarantee you that.
Yep. But you're right. There's that preconceived idea. Because the first one I went to, my wife Janice kind of talked me into it. I had nothing going on Saturday. She said, why don't you go to a look? Deacon Jim's talking. You know him. You've heard him before. Just, you know, go and check it out. Well, I'm thinking, like, yeah, maybe this sounds good, but, you know, I'm thinking, like you said, I get this preconceived idea in my head. Saw all these holier-than-thou guys just sitting there, you know, just praying the rosary, rosary's good, but, you know, just not really being men, right?
Right.
And I got there, and it was just completely different. And that was, you know, just completely changed my thoughts of this and my thoughts of how a real man follows Christ.
I would even bet that you saw men there you would never imagine would have been there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. There's men who we look at, and we all tend to look and say, eh, he's one of them, or he's not one of them. And yet you come to this conference, and you see people you've known who really have never, you've never had that dynamic understanding of who they are in the Lord. David, you've had the experience.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, and then when you find out more about these guys and their moral fiber, their integrity, and that they're trying to live a virtuous, heroic life beyond normal. I mean, and I think every man aspires, and they're searching for that the depth of character of a man. And we try to do it through work. And I love what you talked about, Mike, about going to your son's baseball game. Isn't that a great thing to support your son in a baseball game? Absolutely. To coach your kid, to go watch their game, to go watch your daughter dance in a ballet thing.
Yes.
Are those great things?
Wonderful.
But isn't it, so that's good. Mm-hmm. A man who has zero faith can do that.
That's right.
I mean, really. I mean, when I was playing ball and doing all those things, I had the tiniest, smallest relationship with God. I would attend Mass once a week. That's it. But to really work toward holiness, I didn't have a clue. So I was doing those things. I was helping coach. I was umpiring. I was giving turkeys out at Thanksgiving. Those are all good things. Those are natural things because we're nice American guys.
That's humanism.
Who wants to be a nice American guy?
Yeah.
If that's all I'm living for, come on. I want to be way, way beyond that. And how do you go beyond that? You get grace infused into your natural gifts. And that's kind of church talk. The bottom line is God and you cooperating together, you're a much more heroic and fulfilled man in the Lord than doing it on your own.
You know, David, you said a key word in what you're saying. You said, and I want to address men right now listening to this, or in women, you said you attended Mass. And that's what many of our Catholics do today. And God bless all of our Catholics, but I was there too. You attended Mass rather than enter into the mystery. And if you don't have that understanding of your Catholic faith of entering into the mystery on Sunday at the altar, you've missed it. You can attend all you want. It'll never change your life. You have to be engaged in what God is calling us to do. And that is really what, when you said that word, you triggered that in my mind about attendance is not enough.
Oh, that's key. That's that relationship.
That's right.
And that's what this conference allows. You come face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't know that. You say, you know what, I'll go. There's some good guys that invited me. I think I'd like to attend. And lo and behold, as you guys have been saying, the Holy Spirit starts to crack down and open that hardened heart where you think you got all your stuff together. You've got this world figured out. And all of a sudden, he enters in. He says, you know what, you're a good guy, but I'm calling you to be heroic. Okay. I'm calling to you to love sacrificially and be the man I've called you to be. I want to read this by Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati.
Please.
Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, the man of the Beatitudes. Heavenly Father, give me the courage to strive for the highest goals, to flee every temptation to be mediocre. Enable me to aspire to greatness. Open my heart. I mean, this is that's what we're called to be and to do, to have the courage to be great for our Lord and his renown and to be great for our wives, our children, our co-workers, our friends.
That's exactly right. And God's calling us into that relationship. You know, and we've all done our morning prayers. There's a spot in the morning prayers, and it talks about in man in his richness lacks wisdom. Now, I'm not suggesting that to being rich is bad, but if all it is wealth that you're concerned with, you will lack the wisdom to understand who God is, because it's a gift from God anyways. The gift that you have of money is from God. But then it goes on in Solomon's prayer when he's in chapter 9 in the book of wisdom. It says, if wisdom who comes from you be not with him, he shall be held in no esteem. the understanding of just wealth for wealth will never satisfy. And it's one of the reasons I think some men aren't drawn to the conflict, because they feel they have to go and earn their way into this relationship. It's already there. God waits for us. All we have to do is say yes. Have you found that to be true, Tony?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a powerful understanding of living in a relationship with a living God, with this Christ Jesus. And this is what this conference is about. This is why we pull these speakers, and we'll talk about them in a minute. But we really try and as a group, we work together to find the best speakers for the time that really will satisfy the needs of the men that they will be drawn into this relationship with the Lord.
Well, and I just keep thinking about the title of this conference and what we're talking about here, and what we're, in essence, asking of ourselves and asking of men, too, surrender.
Yeah.
Surrender.
And say that title again, because it's Surrender, the Ultimate Power.
The Ultimate Power.
Yeah.
Surrender, the Ultimate Power.
Yeah.
I mean, surrender doesn't mean giving up.
That's right.
It means giving in to an extent.
That's right.
You know,
yeah, and it's
in.
Got a bad connotation in our
right.
world of surrender.
Right.
But
surrender. Mm. You know, waving a white flag, you're waiting for an embrace.
That's right.
You know? So I just thought that was very apt when Dr. Day was talking and stuff too. It just and when we were at our retreat about the title for the conference, when it just the Holy Spirit just kind of came rushing in and said, "Okay, here it is."
Yeah.
You know, there's no better feeling.
And surrender is an act of the will. Surrender is giving all to the one who created us. It's surrendering to the higher being, the higher power in our life, who's Jesus Christ. And it's a surrender to let him rule our life.
Right.
And our lives then become a mirror image of Christ. We begin to look like him. We begin to take on the facade of who Christ is, and we begin to show other men what it means to walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think have you guys heard never surrender?
Yes.
Yep. Never quit. Never
right.
give in.
Yep.
So this is the hook for me even to this. When strong men would come into my life, you know, and you hear at these conferences, they say, you know, to live, you must do what? You must die.
That's right. Dying
Take
yourself.
Up your cross.
Right.
To live, you must die. So you're saying, wait, I'm giving up. You are giving up your agenda.
That's right.
And you're saying, I have a call on my life. I've been crafted for a reason by our Lord. I've been made in his image and likeness
yeah.
for a reason. Now I want to move away from the reason, whatever I've concocted in my head, whatever the world, I've let the world dictate to me how to live my life. And I never sought our Lord. I never sought our Lady, the saints, the wisdom of the church.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I've got this. I mean, now this is saying, actually, if you surrender to what you think is the way you should be and act, and you let the Lord lead you, I mean, that's basically what we're saying.
Correct.
Understanding that, right?
Yep. Amen.
So we're
yep.
surrendering
Amen.
To say, Lord, we desire
yep.
that you are our Lord. Would you lead us and show us? And that doesn't take away actually anything. It takes away the things that are, you know, ruining our soul and
yes.
in taking the darkness out of our lives.
You know, I want to give you an example. If when the Magi came to King Herod and he wanted to know where this baby was, if he would have surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus at that point, his kingdom would have lasted. He would have been a great ruler. But it's true with us men today. When God comes to us, we can either say yes and accept it, or we can continue to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we try and live our own lives like we think it should be. And typically, it doesn't turn out well.
but it comes back to the ultimate strength, too,
yeah.
because, you know, the world teaches us to be a strong man. You need to be, I need to take care of this.
Yeah.
I will take care of you. I will make this happen. I will do this. I will do that.
Yeah.
I will whatever. And, you know, when we grow up with that and we live with that. And when it doesn't work, we're like, yeah. what do we do?
It's a cultural thing, too, because we don't know how in this particularly in the Western society here how to let go and let God, because we've been taught that the only way we're going to have any esteem is to be popular and to have wealth and success, and that really is what we breeded on, and we look at that, but that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
The case of it is we have men that are being drawn into relationship with the Lord Jesus.
I love the fact that you could be excellent in your vocation, your calling, your career. You can be excellent in that while the Lord's leading to you. In fact, if you think, and I thought this, I could do it like you said, Mike, I could do it myself. And I was pretty happy. But then when I allowed and said, Lord, I would love for you to direct my life, I'm doing many of the same things. I still love sports. I still love to be social and hang out with my friends. And I love my work as an eye doctor. But it's augmented and moved by the Holy Spirit. It's taken on a whole other dimension that I could have never have done on my own.
That's
it, but I never believe that. So this conference, if you step into it, you will hear things, and your heart and your mind will be awakened in new ways. You say, you know what? God has given me gifts and talents and things that I enjoy. He's not going to be stripping those all away. He's going to take and refine them for your true happiness. It's crazy.
Dave, you brought another word up, too, that I have to touch on. You said you were happy. But I know in you now that happiness has changed to joy.
Yeah, that's excellent.
It's changed to joy.
Yes,
what happens in joy is you may not be happy all the time.
Right.
Things are going to happen in our lives that won't be what we hoped it would be. But the joy isn't taken away because we live in the Lord and we say, if this is your will, then I would be joyful in it regardless of the outcome because it's really of God's providence. So what we're trying to encourage men on this program today is really understanding living in the joy, living in the peace of Christ, because your life would be then in living how God wants us to live rather than how we think the world wants us to live. So thank you for bringing that word up, David.
Yeah, no, thank you for this.
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen?
Amen. But now we need to talk a little bit about the conference coming up, too. We have a conference coming up on March 8th at Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish. We have some dynamic speakers. We want to talk a little bit about this, too, what's going on and how we've chose these people, because this year is a little different for us. We've got somebody on our speaking list that we haven't had before. But we are going to, this is our ninth year, and if anybody's interested in looking at it, it's www.buildingalegacy.org. You can register online for this conference, and I tell you what, I'll make this right now. If you aren't 100% satisfied, we will give you your money back.
All right.
On this
all right. I like that. I was going to say that.
Did we vote on that?
No.
We will feed you, and we will give you the most powerful food you could have.
Hey,
the word of the Lord.
I would guarantee it. I would guarantee it.
That's right.
Amen. We'll dip in our pockets if we need to.
Well,
but I can tell you this: in as many years we've been doing this, I can honestly say we've never had a dissatisfied customer.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fabulous. I mean, some of the feedback has brought me to tears.
Mm-hmm.
The men who have changed their lives because of this guy, not because of us.
No, because
they said yes to the Lord and took the courage to attend the conference, and that's the understanding. But first of all, let's talk a little bit about our speakers we've got coming in. First of all, we've got this year we're going to have a dynamite lineup. We're going to have Father Larry Richards is going to be coming in, tremendous speaker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're really going out on a limb this year. Well, I shouldn't say we're going on a limb. This year we decided that this would be the first year we're going to have a woman speaker, and it's going to be Teresa Tomeo, who is on the radio. Ave Maria Radio in Detroit.
Yes.
Powerful speaker. She speaks all over the country, and she's really going to bring a different dimension to an understanding of Christ and how men can really have an understanding with their wives and the relationship with the Lord. And then we are blessed this year to have Bishop Walkowiak, who will be there at our conference celebrating Mass with us. So we've got a dynamic conference coming up.
Yes.
So let's talk about that a little bit, guys, what it means to us as men and what it means to the other men coming to this conference.
Well, the one thing that you mentioned, bringing it to tears, some of the things, to me, you know, we also offer confession, obviously, always.
Absolutely.
And seeing the line of men, it may have not been confession for a year, 2 years, who knows, just that fire lit in them that they're just in tears in line waiting for confession is just amazing to me.
And, Tony, you hit on a good thing because we have talked to priests after this, and they've said they've never heard such powerful reconciliations because these are men who are really repentant.
Right.
Who are coming into an understanding that my life is not where it should have been. And they really come into an understanding of trying to live a more faithful life in the Lord. It's not easy.
Oh, no.
And the conference is no guarantee, but it certainly is a good start.
I just think this year, you know, I've you know, listened to a lot of Father Larry cassette tapes and CDs and stuff over the years.
You dated yourself.
Exactly. And he is, oh my gosh, he is so dynamic. And he is so, how do I want to say it, assertive. Oh my gosh, he's fantastic.
He's a guy's guy.
Yeah, he's a guy's guy. Heck yeah. And Teresa Tamio, who you know listen to here on Holy Family Radio.
Right.
I mean, I would just say the same about her too. You know, very very assertive, very. I don't want to say in your face, but you know what I mean? Very, very matter-of-factly.
Yeah.
And both of them are just so encouraging and so challenging, too, because we have to be challenged.
Right.
This can't be just a like, okay, this will be a nice ride, folks. It'd be great, you know, once you go through this, everything. You know, it's a challenge. Every day is a challenge,
you know?
And both of these speakers are so challenging and so vibrant. And I mean, I'm really excited about this. I really am. In the past, the speakers, I haven't had a great knowledge of, you know, but they've turned out to be fantastic. But this year, you know, I'm more I know them more and I know their background and stuff, and I'm really excited about these.
You know,
two.
And good speaking has to rock your reality a little
bit.
It has to make you question, here's what I've been believing for all these years, and now I'm hearing this truth, and I can't refute it. Now I have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Either I'm going to follow the truth or I'm going to continue to live in this kind of tepid life, not really accepting that. Have you found that, Dave?
I have, without a doubt. And I think this lineup of speakers, and just the way the Holy Spirit kind of crafts the day. I mean, there's a movement of we gather together, you know, over coffee, you know, and there's, you know, we have...
Don't forget donuts.
Yeah, and donuts, and a continental breakfast, so to speak. And there's just a movement of prayer, and there's this camaraderie and fraternity and fellowship and friendship with other guys. You see guys you haven't seen in a while. And so there's building up. And as you said, Deacon, about having speakers that will confront and challenge. But here's what I love, too. Not only are these people who are passionate about our Lord and our Lady in the church, but they're passionate about their brothers and sisters in the Lord. Men and women who they know would do so much better if they would cooperate with grace.
Yeah.
And so they have pastors in a priest's, in like a sister's heart for others. They love. So they put their lives on the line. They travel all over the place.
Right.
They're very learned. They're experienced. I mean, they come with all this clout, and then they lay it at the feet of our Lord in service to Him.
Yeah.
And then so it will be a challenging but an incredible day of building up to employ you for something greater. So I think you hit it right on the head when you say these are people that the Lord has put together for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And having Teresa come in, I am so excited because I absolutely love listening to her.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we listen to her so often, and she has such an understanding of media, the culture.
Yeah.
And guys, I mean, the media culture and just the images and everything that we get from TV, from all the media that's out there, the Lord has given her a gift to kind of look into that and to say, this is trash, this is good, what's behind this, what's the spirit, and she can speak to that in a very powerful way.
And Teresa came out of the secular media into this Catholic media. But, you know, I think the most important thing I can say for these speakers, and of course Bishop Wachowiak, is they want heaven for everyone. And the message comes through loud and clear. They are offering us something that we haven't heard before. And it's an understanding of our salvation. It's an understanding of opening our eyes and our ears and our hearts to the Lord Jesus and really coming to that relationship that we need to build. And it's a step-by-step process. And many times they'll help you through that. The first step, as we said, is saying yes. Just being at the conference. Again, I'm going to challenge men. Take the challenge seriously. We will bring you in. We would love to see you there. We will introduce ourselves. We'll be there for you. And we'll make this day a dynamic day for you, not because of us, but because we'll bring the Lord into your life.
Right. We don't lock the doors once you're in.
Yeah.
So, you know, you come in and it's not your whatever, you know. Hey.
I thought we did.
Well, maybe this year.
We're changing that, I guess.
Okay. I take that back.
Yeah. That was a complaint. Yeah.
So, but just that, like you said, that challenge, I dare you. But show up, you know, and I guarantee you, I said that before, and you said that too, I guarantee you, your life will be changed, period.
Yeah. And you know what? It may not be the day of.
No.
Yep. It may not be the day of. It may be you go home and you say, you know, I didn't get that much out of that. It was good. But things will start to work on your psyche, in your mind, and you'll start to recall what you heard, and it will start to line up with what your beliefs are or what the lack of beliefs are. And pretty soon you'll start challenging yourself because you've heard truth, and somehow that truth just smacks you in the face, and you can't get away from it. You just can't get away from that truth because it's a reality that is so powerful that it draws us into an understanding of who we are. And, again, that's what this conference is about. Again, I'm going to say the date, March 8th. Look at your calendars, guys, because it's important that you set it aside. I know we're going to talk about it a little bit, too, but there is a discount on the tickets if you buy it prior to coming to the door. So, like I said, go to www.buildingalegacy.org. We're so pleased that Holy Family Radio is helping to support this conference, because they know it's, and they know it's a key to the heart of men, and men need to be better husbands, they need to be better fathers, they need to be better employers, and the only way we do that is to live in the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Yep.
And so as we build into this conference, David, just give an idea to the men listening, the amount of work we do to put this conference on. I think, and that's important, because this just doesn't happen overnight.
That's right. And It really starts with all of our, first of all, our personal commitment to the Lord and our baptismal call of being priest, prophet, and king. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we're not just sitting back and saying, okay, I'm set in the Lord, I have a relationship with Him. There's a call on each of our lives to do the work. I mean, you said that earlier, that it is an ascent of the will, and we have to cooperate with grace and to turn to it and then to do something with it out of love for what's been given to us.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at, I love the crucifix. I mean, as you use it in your own personal prayer time, or, you know, to focus on that and say, okay, that's been done for me. Now what am I going to do? So here we are. The Lord's called a group of guys together called Kepha, and we...
And we are like the apostles, the ragtag bunch of...
We are. We are. And He brings our collective souls together in the inspiration that He's given us, and we work, and we toil, and we meet a lot, and we pray together,
yes,
and we plan, and we think, how, Lord, can you touch the men in our community, in our diocese? And so we ponder, pray, we meet over the speakers, and how the day is going to flow. What can we do to make this more of a welcoming environment, to make it so the Lord is very present, that people would, men who come, would see the Lord, and they would interact with the Lord, and it would not be about us at all,
right,
but it'd be all pointed to Jesus and for His glory and His renown.
Yep.
So what is it? It's prayer. We meet, we work, we talk, we discuss. Sometimes we argue a little bit in good ways to try to make it excellent.
Yep. And Dave, one of the things we do too, and you talk about, we pray together. I think it's been doing now for about 2 years, but we decided that one of our meetings is always going to be in the Adoration Chapel. So we meet as men together to adore the Lord, to draw us into this communal understanding of serving God and serving Christ as men together. And we have one heart and one mind and one soul when we're in the presence of God. And then we go and we break bread together, have breakfast, and talk about the conference, talk about our lives, because you can't build a conference just on logistics. You have to build it on love. And that's what happens. We form a group of men who love one another in the Lord, and then the conference becomes real, because then we can take that same love and bring it to the men in the community. So that adoration has been powerful in our lives. Mm-hmm. But we also, as you said, we get together on a monthly basis and pray together, and then go over the hard work, the task of doing it. And everybody's sent out with jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all have jobs to do, don't we?
Yep.
We all have things to take care of, because it's a lot of work to put a conference together like this. Mike, when you first came into the group, did you expect to be engaged in this as we are now?
Well, you know, it was, and again, it was back to that saying yes, you know, because I was, I used to go to Mass at the Catholic Information Center, when it was in the building across from the, and, you know, John
on
Olick.
Come,
I got to, you're right, and yeah. I got to know John Olick, and after Mass one day, he says, hey, we got this, you know, whatever, would you like
John
to
John Olick,
him?
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah, he's the quiet little one in the corner.
Yeah.
He said, hey, would you like to do this? And I'm like, okay, sure. You know, because my goal, anyways, at that point was, again, to surround myself with like-minded men as a source of strength. It wasn't necessarily, you know, I don't want to sound selfish or anything. It wasn't necessarily like, oh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to bring all these people to the Lord. I mean, I was still working on myself at that point, too. And, you know, so I wasn't sure what to expect, but I know Dr. Dave in the past, and I'd met you before. And so just to get in there and be with men, and again, knowing Dave and knowing his faith, knowing that I was getting in with a group of men that was going to challenge me and that was going to help me to grow too. So whatever the Lord wanted me to do, I'm open to do, you know, and that's that again, if you're talking about miracles here,
yeah.
and me and being the home body and kind of like, oh, I want to, now I'm at work, now I want to go home, and now I just want to just relax,
yep.
You know, being able to say yes and saying, you know, Lord, what do you want from me? What do you need me to do for you?
Yep.
Let me know. I need to know. And sometimes it's a John Olick or a Deacon Jim or a Tony or a Dave Denbraber coming up to me and saying, hey, can you do this for me? And me saying, yes, I will do that for you and for the Lord.
You know, Mike, and I want to bring this up too. Sometimes what we do, we don't want to do.
Oh, sure.
And the reality of it is, that's the love. It's when you don't want to do it, you say, you know what? I will surrender.
That's right.
Correct. I will surrender gracefully to the providence of God, and I will do what he asked me to do. And you do it in love. It may not be what you had on your agenda that day. But
Well, that's what, when, you know, after the first conference, it touched me so much, and you guys put out the call during the conference, hey, anybody, you know, if you think he can help us, let us know. So I decided to get into it, and I've been doing things that are so far out of my comfort zone, but I'll do them because I enjoy it, and I know this is good for other people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess that's another good point is we can always use more help, especially in getting the word out for this conference, too.
Exactly.
You know?
That's a good point, Tony, because any men who feel called into helping a conference like this,
right.
We are always open to bringing men in who really want to be faithfully committed to the Lord. And we need men in their parishes to get
right.
the word out.
Correct.
And if you want to be a parish leader, we would be happy to show you how you can do that and to build a army of men in your own parish because, you know, this world needs leaders for the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs men to stand out and to go to other men. And when I say men, I'm not excluding women. There's something about men gathering together, that men cathecting to one another, because we have the same walk in life. And women have their conference when they need to be together and really understand that what it means to be a true woman in the Lord and what it means to be a true man in the Lord. And that's our ambition, and our goal is to really bring men to a solid relationship with the Lord Jesus. David, when you first came on board with CAFA, with you and I, did you ever envision our ninth year? Honestly?
No, you know, I in my mind, I try to respond to the moment, and so I don't even really think about the future, you know,
yeah.
And so very often,
yeah.
You know, I do need to keep heaven in mind, as you were describing, but I would have never thought that I could be privileged in how this could have affected my life. You know, it was just kind of one day at a time. You had an invitation, and you guys were talking about responding and saying yes, and then here we are, nine conferences later, building into our ninth,
yeah.
That men are gathering. CAFA is the core group of guys that are trying to serve this conference and the men of our diocese that are coming together in building friendships, in hopefully inspiring others to know our Lord more. I would have never thought this would be. You know, you don't know. And that's the cool thing about following the Lord. You know, at first I thought it's going to be kind of boring.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, you gather, like, I used to see people and this is, and hopefully taking this the right way, I would see people praying the rosary by themselves. I'm like, oh, okay, is that what it means to follow Jesus?
Yeah.
And then I would see people, you know, just reading the scripture. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I don't know if I can do that. Is that what this is all about? Well, guess what? That is such an important part.
Yeah. Amen.
Because you take the Lord and you have that solitude with him. But then he says, okay, now, you were on the mount together. Now let's go. And now he gathers us with men.
Yeah.
I mean, that is an absolute, it's a blast.
Amen.
To be around other guys. It's fun. It's an adventure. You're called into heroic love. I can't imagine living another way.
Yeah.
So I love that he's brought us this far.
Amen. And I don't want the men or the women listening to this program thinking we're an oasis. We are part of a larger group called the National Conference of Catholic Conferences.
Mm-hmm.
About 4 years ago, we dedicated ourselves to having a statewide conference with the other seven dioceses, and we went to Ypsilanti over Eastern Michigan. We drew about 4,000 men over there. So this is not something as just particular to Grand Rapids Diocese. This goes on throughout the United States. So I want men to understand that this is a growing movement of men becoming really engaged in their faith and in the church. And like I said, we're not an oasis. We are just part of a greater whole, right, that really leads men into an understanding. And through this, we see our parishes grow. Would you agree with that? How have we seen that in our parishes, men who are getting more involved in their parish life?
Well, I've seen it start up a bunch of like men's, where men want something, they get together in smaller groups and smaller things other than the conference, mm-hmm, because they've had this experience. They know, hey, this is cool being around other guys that are of like mind, and then it's generated into other things.
Yeah.
And this has got to be our response too to society and to the world too. Yeah. I mean, if you sit there and just kind of take it, guess what? You're going to get swallowed up.
That's right.
I mean, this has got to be our response to the society and what the world is telling us. You know, we have to respond.
You know, I think about this too. We see the men at the conference, and we've heard some great testimonies of men who've been there. But we don't know, and we don't need to know. But I think of the men who might leave and witness to the people they work with, or witness to their friends that we never have, that we're not privy to see that. But how we probably have changed lives of men becoming more bold and being able to speak, because once you hear the truth, it's kind of hard not to speak it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're really emboldened to speak it. And I just wonder, you know, the Lord will one day reveal to us what it meant. But, you know, I know that men's hearts are being changed, and that through that, David, I know in your practice, you witness. I mean, I know you don't do it all the time, but you're a witness to Christ in your life. Mike, I'm sure where you're at, you're a constant witness to your
faith.
Oh,
things come up every once in a while.
Yes. And Tony, you live a Catholic life. They see you go to adoration and Mass and everything else, and that is a true understanding of witnessing who Christ is. And sometimes we do it silently, but people watch us, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
They're always watching to see what we're doing, and that's part of this whole understanding that men can come in this conference comfortably. I think we need to talk about that too, because I don't want men coming in to feel they're going to be harassed or have there's nothing there, because we really welcome them, and it's just a conference where they can go at their own speed.
Absolutely. I think I'm so glad you brought that up, because there have been men that I've invited to different things, and they say, Dave, you know, I know Mike Ingram, I know Tony Buchek, I know Deacon Jim, and I just really can't necessarily hang with them, so to speak, on the spiritual level. And they know deep down they haven't committed themselves to a relationship with the Lord. There's a little bit of fear there. And there, of course, there's pride there. There's all these things that would keep somebody away. And they think, I'm going to have to go there. I'm going to have to answer questions about my faith. Somebody's going to say, stand up, Michael, and tell me about, you know, what's your confirmation name? How the heck do I know? You know,
we're going to stop doing that this year?
Yeah. Yeah, just this year. We'll bring it back next year.
Yeah.
That you will have to answer questions you don't know, or there's some, you know what? It's the opposite. This is a great day, especially if you have any type of fear, that pride's kind of holding you back, to say, guess what? None of us have all the answers.
That's right.
But you're going to be walking into a situation where there are guys that are striving, they're striving hearts, and there's really nothing that could hold you back here, because you can enter into this as much as you really want to. You can come, show up,
right,
sitting back. That's what I did. My first few conferences, somebody says, Dave, you need to go to this. This is so awesome. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But I go because I'm like, okay, I really appreciate this guy. And I would sit in back, slump down, and just listen. Then I would go to Mass.
Yeah.
And then maybe I was called to confession. And I couldn't believe how the Lord was just slowly drawing me in. And there was no force.
Yeah.
And no one said, Dave, you must do this. No, it never happened.
No.
What
you're really describing is being able to rest in the Lord.
Yeah.
You can come to this conference and rest in the Lord and let Him work on your heart, not us.
Right.
I mean, the speakers will be speaking. The words will come through the Holy Spirit. But it's really an understanding of resting in the Lord and being fed and being nourished and coming out of there with ammunition to defend who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys, as we continue on this journey, we're running out of time here, but I do want to have a little more conversation about the logistics of this conference and what they can expect from that. what we do is, what time do we start again? We start at 7:30. We must have the agenda here. Let's see. You'd think we'd have it in front of us, wouldn't you? But I believe the doors open at 7:30.
I think so.
And we start out with continental breakfast.
Guess what? It's right here, so we are well prepared.
That's right.
The doors do open at 7:30 a.m., so at Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish here in Grand Rapids. And the conference officially starts at 8:15, and it goes till 3:30.
Right.
So,
and we are punctual about getting you out on time.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
And we will have lunch for you.
You get lunch.
Just so you know, we won't let you go hungry. We won't starve your body. we'll feed you. And it's broken down into a very concise way that we run this. There's time for adoration if you'd like that. There's time for reconciliation. We'll have many priests there who will be there. And again, they're welcoming men to come to adoration. The speakers are broken down into segments, so you're not sitting for a long period of time. And there's time to engage with the men at the conference, the other men there, so you can get a sense of who they are, and perhaps you'll find some buddies there that you never thought would come to this conference. That's been my understanding of it.
Oh, yeah. The day will fly by. It will go by quickly. It will. And it always does. Like I said, you know, not to toot our own horn, if you will, but, you know, the Holy Spirit brings in these engaging speakers each year that just, you know, and like I said, the day flies by. You're not required to do anything. You don't have to go here. You don't have to go there.
That's right.
All you have to do is be there, listen, and just take it in, and just listen to the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit telling you?
Half the battle is showing up.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's what we're encouraging men to do. Yeah.
We also have a youth breakout for the teens in the group.
Oh, that's right.
The day there'll be a youth breakout.
Yes, and that's always... That's good for the young men because they get a chance to see other young men who are really coming. And here's another one. We really encourage fathers to think about your sons. What's the age limit we like, guys?
So it's 13 years and older.
13 years and older. So we encourage fathers. I'm encouraging grandfathers to encourage your sons, if you're listening to this radio broadcast. Bring them along because you will gain a relationship with your son you didn't know you could have. I'm encouraging wives who are listening to this to encourage your husbands and your sons to take a look at this. We don't want any arm twisting, but we certainly know that... it can enhance your relationship with your wives, and maybe
how could it not?
Could it not? And maybe there are some marriages struggling out there right now who really need a shot in the arm, really have a sense of needing God in their relationship. This will help men to come to a further understanding of what it means to be a true husband and father in those relationships.
The other thing I'd encourage people, men have been at the conference before, and you know how it's made you feel. You know what it's done in your life. Bring someone else with you this year. Invite another person and bring them with you. Share that joy that you've gotten through this conference with someone else.
Yes, yes. Guys, it's been a pleasure having you here today. Is there anything that you can add, just a little short addition? What would you encourage men to do?
First, ask the Lord.
Okay.
Just simply say, Lord, I'm hearing this. How should I respond? And then I want to just encourage them to say yes.
Yes. Mike?
Yeah, that's what I would say. Encourage them. Say yes. Just say yes.
Yeah.
You will not regret it. Guaranteed.
Yes.
I agree with everyone else. Yeah.
Again, I want to thank Dr. David and Mike and Tony for being here. I want to remind you the conference is March 8th, 2014. It's going to be at Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish. If you need to further information, please visit our website at www.buildingalegacy.org. Again, www.buildingalegacy.org. It's been my privilege to have you guys here. I mean, you're my friends, you're my compadres in this, and you're friends in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for all the effort you put into doing this. And I know that God will richly reward us in our efforts. So may the Lord be with you and keep you safe this day as you travel about your work. God bless all of you.
Thank you.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Holy Family Radio, and this is Deacon Jim Thornhill saying God bless.
You've been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host, Deacon Jim Thornhill, on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.